Okay. Sorry about that. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Laura Lee. I'm the Senior Stock Assessment Scientist for the division. And this afternoon, I'm going to go over some, basically a Stock Assessment 101, and also introduce you to the division stock assessment process. And as Lee said, you're going to see a lot of overlap between our presentations. So we're going to start with the very basics of stock assessment, and I'm going to introduce some terms. The first is unit stock. And unit stock, defining unit stock is the first thing we do in a stock assessment because we need to know exactly what fish it is that we're applying the assessment to. So the unit stock is the stock that includes those individuals that will be treated as a unit for assessment and management purposes. This is not necessarily the same as a biological fish stock, which is a group of fish of the same species that live in the same geographic area and mix enough to breed with each other when mature. Ideally, the unit stock and the biological stock are going to be the same, but because fish don't necessarily adhere to political boundaries drawn by people, instead the unit stock might be dictated by what waters the agency has jurisdiction over. So we're all familiar with the example of southern flounder and how originally we assessed that as just a North Carolina stock, but based on tagging and genetic information, we know now that this is a four-state species. Natural mortality, represented by the letter M, is the rate at which a fish or other organism dies of natural causes. In fisheries, natural mortality can just be thought of as the removal of fishes due to causes other than fishing. And the rate of natural mortality is strongly related to the lifespan of the fish. As the fish ages, natural mortality decreases. It also decreases with weight and increases in length. And natural mortality rates vary among species, and even within species, it varies by sex, density, food availability, time, space, and other factors. I also want to point out that natural mortality is going to occur regardless of whether or not fishing is occurring. Natural mortality is just always there. And it can be the leading source of mortality for a fish species. For example, we know for weakfish, which is a fish species, but natural mortality far outweighs fishing mortality in terms of removals from the natural population. Oops, sorry, not done yet. Fishing mortality is also a rate, and this one is represented by F. And this is removals due to fishing activities. And fishing mortality is strongly related to the fishing gear, and it can vary by sex, age, time, space, and other factors. And knowing the fishing mortality rate is crucial in describing and understanding population dynamics of species under harvesting. Finally, we have recruitment, and that's simple. That's just the addition of individuals through natural reproduction. So what is a stock assessment? The main objective of most stock assessments is to produce estimates of population size and fishing mortality for ultimately determining the stock status. Typically, an assessment involves combining different data sources into a quantitative model to produce these and other outputs. We're especially interested in how the population responds to fishing and any other types of significant removals, and this will help us with predictions, if they're needed, of various management scenarios. But knowing the current estimates of population size and fishing mortality alone are not enough. We need something to measure those values against. We need to know, is the population in a good state or is it in a bad state? So these are the reference points that define the desirable or sustainable stock conditions. And we'll talk more about reference points in more detail later in the presentation. So fish stocks increase and decrease due to natural fluctuations and fishing, and the size of fish populations can fluctuate by orders of magnitude over time. And I'm going to take you through this diagram. So this diagram describes natural production. And understanding biological production or natural production helps facilitate understanding of fluctuations in fish stocks, and this understanding is essential for effective management. So first, biomass is the weight of the population, just the stock size and weight. And here we have this greenish box is the stock biomass T for this year, and then we have stock biomass next year, this year plus one. Recruitment contributes to next year's stock size through the addition of new individuals to the stock. So that's one way in which the population grows. those that survive this year contribute to next year's population through growth. So that's the second way that the population grows. Fishing yields and natural deaths take away from this year's population, and so they can constrain the potential size of next year's population. That makes sense? And the difference in next year's biomass and this year's biomass, that's what production is. And the available production determines the potential yield that's available to the fishery. So more production is available, there's more fish available to be fished. Fish stocks change over time due to mortality, individual growth, and reproduction through recruitment. And these processes can be influenced by environmental factors, as you know. Fisheries remove some fish, leaving fewer survivors. You can see the difference here between the unfished population and a fish population. Naturally, the fish population is smaller. Stock assessment models are usually mathematical and statistical analyses that are used to come up with those estimates of population size and fishing mortality. And these population models are built using both fishery monitoring and survey data. These include survey indices, which are used to establish trend. We're not interested in absolute numbers from these surveys. We're interested in the trend. Catch data, the removals, are used to determine scale or magnitude. And then the models attempt to make both pieces consistent, coherent, and realistic. So it takes information from both sources and and what we know about the population and the current fishery, and just tries to put it all together to estimate the population size and fishing mortality. So next we're going to talk about data, and then we'll talk about models after that. So what do the observations tell us? There are three types of data that are essential for stock assessment. The first is basically your body count. This is the catch, the removals. These are the dead fish that are going, and these could be harvest, landings, bycatch, and discard. It's the amount of fish removed from a stock by fishing. If you have reliable information on other significant sources of removals like predation, red tide, impingement, or entrainment, they can be included also in the model. You could include it as a separate fleet, perhaps. I've seen that done. Abundance data are typically collected via fishery independent surveys, and they provide, again, a relative trend. So relative numbers in terms of the number or weight of fish in the stock. So you've probably heard the term catch per unit effort. So the numbers per tow or the catch per haul. This is what's providing us information on the relative trend from our surveys. And finally, biological data can be collected through both fishery dependent and fishery independent sources. Here I've listed the basic data needs for our stock assessments, and the basic data needs include information on movement, migration, genetics, and morphometrics. And morphometrics is simply just counts of body parts. And this information is needed to define the unit stock, and as I told you before, that's an important part of the stock assessment process. That's the first thing we need to do, because we need to know what fish we're collecting data on, what fish we're assessing. It's those individuals that are going to be treated as a unit for the assessment. And also I mentioned it can be subjective and just depends on what area the agency has jurisdiction over. Probably the most important data that go into an assessment are the landings, harvest, bycatch, and discard data. These are the loss from the population due to harvest or fishing mortality. One or more indices of abundance are needed to estimate historic stock sizes reliably and to inform the model on population trends. Again, these indices are providing information on trends, not absolute numbers. Natural mortality and growth rates are part of the basic data needs required by both models. They just help to describe how the population changes over time. And information on maturity tells us when fish reach the age or length at which they can start reproducing. There are other types of data that we can use if available. For example, data that are classified by age or length can allow us to use a more complex model. So you've probably heard the terms age-structured or length-structured model. Precision and sample size can help guide the model fits. So data that are associated with higher precision and larger sample size are going to be given more weight or tell the model that these data have more confidence. Give more weight to these data when you're fitting the model. They're more informative. It's impossible to avoid errors when aging a fish. So the division's age lab has worked to develop consistent methodologies for aging our fish species, including protocols for double reads, which help reduce errors. And this information can be incorporated into our stock assessment models. Tagging and telemetry data can be used to estimate fishing mortality external to the model or can be incorporated directly to the model. These data can also provide information on movement and used to estimate natural mortality and even abundance. The director earlier today mentioned our multi-species tagging program, which we have, and our plan is to use that information in our stock assessment models for the species. Environmental information can be used when parameters such as recruitment are significantly influenced by environmental factors and reliable data are available. Stock assessments don't require this information, but it can be incorporated, again, if it's available and if it's reliable. And while information on total discards and releases is important, what we're really interested, as I said before, is the body count, the dead ones. So that's why we need information on discard and release mortality rates, the ones that are dead. As Lee mentioned, data come primarily from one of two sources, fisheries dependent and fisheries independent. Fisheries dependent data, as you know, are the data that depend on the fisheries. They come from monitoring of the commercial and recreational fisheries. And then fisheries independent data come from surveys that operate independent of the fisheries. So, for example, the division's various survey programs. Fisheries dependent data include removals, fishing effort, and biological information. The division collects information on commercial removals and effort through the Trip Ticket Program and Gillnet Observer Program. Data on recreational removals and fishing effort come from the Marine Recreational Information Program, or MRIP, creel surveys, and catch cards. Biological data from the commercial fishery is collected through the division's Fish House Sampling Program. And biological data from the recreational sector is collected through MRIP and by the division at tournaments or through the Carcass Collection Program. And I can't emphasize this enough. For fisheries independent survey data, we're interested in the relative trend of the data, not the absolute numbers. We're very lucky here in North Carolina to have a pretty large variety of fishery independent surveys that operate throughout the state. We have some surveys that target particular species, such as the electrofishing survey that targets striped mullet. Other surveys, such as the Fisheries Independent Gillnet Survey, is more generalized and provides information on a variety of species. And then these surveys are providing information not only on relative population trends, but also biological and habitat information. I also want to put a shout out for the division's maturity project that's going on. It has the objective of validating and updating maturity schedules for selective species, primarily spotted sea trout and striped mullet. And that will help improve our stock assessment models and ultimately fisheries management. What makes a good survey? I think Lee covered this in good detail. I'm just going to give sort of a summary of that. So in a stock assessment model, the model assumes that survey index is assumed or thought to be proportional to population size. In order for that to be true, the sampling effort has to be random with respect to the distribution of the stock over time and space, which fluctuates, of course. Fish don't, unfortunately, don't stay still. I've heard that, you know, assessing fish is like assessing trees, only they're underwater and they move. So you have those challenges. So in addition to the effort being random, catchability must be constant over time. So catchability is the ability or capability of catching a fish. And for that to be constant, your ability or capability of catching a fish this year has to be the same as the capability or ability of catching that fish next year. And that's why it's so important that surveys maintain their methodology over time. Because catchability can be affected by changes in gear, technology, regulations, and other factors. Spatial coverage is also important. We're interested in monitoring the entire range of the stock, not just what's going on in fished areas. So good surveys operate both in fished and unfished areas. Data collected from both fisheries-dependent and fisheries-independent sources often complement each other in a stock assessment to provide a more complete picture of the population. In this figure, you can see length frequencies collected from commercial landings, plotted with length frequencies from the fall component of the CMAP Fisheries Independent Trawl Survey. So the commercial lengths are here in green. They're sort of the larger range lengths. And the fisheries independent lengths are in this darker color. And you can see individually, neither one captures the entire size range of the species. But together, they're providing a more complete picture of the size distribution. So the data, whether it's collected through a census or sampling program, it doesn't give a complete picture of the stock alone. It provides windows to the different components observed by the census or sampling program, so whatever it's designed to measure. However, we're interested in the big picture. That is, we would like to be able to characterize the entire stock, and this is where models fit in. And the models are going to tie all of these different data components together to generate estimates of the population size and fishing mortality. So a model is a simplified representation of a complex process, because it's impossible to characterize all the factors affecting the population dynamics of a fish stock. I do want to emphasize that just because it's a simplified representation, that does not necessarily mean they're simple, as illustrated by some of the common equations here that we are using in our stock assessment models. The basic model that underlies most assessment approaches is shown here. And this is certainly a simplification of reality. For example, it doesn't include the effects of immigration and emigration. The most basic model consists of additions through births, growths, and then removals or losses due to mortality. And remember, mortality is the rate that fish or other organisms die. Of course, things are rarely that simple. Thank you. we have all these other things that we need to try and make assumptions about or incorporate into the model. And so the models that are available range in complexity. Selecting the appropriate model is often a trade-off between the simple models that have fewer data needs, for example, a model that only depends on one index, and the balancing with the trade-off with the biological realism that's offered by more complex models, like a multi-species full ecosystem type approach. The available data that you have largely determines what model you can consider. The best model is the simplest model that provides the best prediction. Just because it's more complex doesn't mean it's going to be better. The complexity of a model is not always directed to its performance and usefulness. So where do our species fall on this? We're very lucky in that we have mostly data moderate to data rich species because of our great fishery dependent and fishery independent monitoring programs. This catch survey analysis has been used for blue crab. That's sort of a data moderate approach. Striped mullet, striped bass, and spotted sea trout are down here with the fully integrated and statistical catch at age type approaches. Next, I'd like to talk to you about reference points. Reference points, again, are these levels that define what desirable conditions are for the stock, and these are established before the assessment is carried out. The division uses two types of reference points, management reference points or targets, and biological reference points or thresholds. These reference points indicate the desired stock stake and mark the boundary of undesirable conditions. And they provide guidance in determining if the stock size is too small or overfished, or if fishing mortality is too high, or if overfishing is occurring. How are reference points decided? It's largely data-driven, so we can't use a reference point that we don't have the data to estimate. So that's a consideration, the same as with models. It largely depends on the data that are available. Life history, certain reference points are suitable to certain life history types. An extensive literature review, model considerations, and of course management needs. The most common reference points are defined in terms of population size and fishing mortality. The estimates of population size and fishing mortality in the most recent year, or terminal year, final year of the stock assessment, are compared to the reference points to determine stock status. So here, this is just sort of a generalization. Say we have population size. If it's greater than the reference point or threshold, it's not overfished. population size is less than the reference point, then it's overfished. Fishing mortality, you sort of have the opposite comparison. If fishing mortality is greater than its reference point, then overfishing is occurring. If fishing mortality is less than the reference point, then overfishing is not occurring. In essence, you want the population size to be high and fishing mortality to be low. Here's an example, just a generic example of how you determine stock status based on a figure from a stock assessment. And this shows you our estimate of population size, which here is measured in terms of spawning stock biomass. That's just the mature portion of the population. And that's shown with the black line with the gray squares. The management reference point or target is shown in the green dashed line. And our threshold, what determines whether or not overfishing is occurring, is shown in the solid red line. So we go to our final year in the assessment, 2012, and we compare that to the threshold. And we can see the population size is above the threshold. So overfishing is not occurring. Again, we want the population size to be higher than the threshold reference point. Here we have fishing mortality and some reference points. Fishing mortality is the black line with the gray squares. These are the estimates from the stock assessment model. The green dashed line is the management target for fishing mortality, and the solid red line is the threshold. That determines whether or not overfishing is occurring. If you look at the terminal year, 2012, compare that to the threshold, and we can see that we're below the threshold. Remember, we want fishing mortality to be low, lower than the threshold. So here, overfishing is not occurring. Final part of my presentation is describing the division stock assessment process. It was established in about 2013, and it's modeled after the processes used by the ASMFC and at the federal level. It's expected to provide managers and constituents with a greater understanding of and confidence in stock assessment results, thereby increasing acceptance of stock assessments in the review work. The process is a series of 6 workshops. Workshop is usually an in-person meeting, sometimes a conference call, and it's attended by program biologists, stock assessment scientists, scientists from other agencies or universities, or anyone we feel can contribute to the stock assessment. At each stage, we produce detailed reports to provide a record of decisions made and the reasons behind those decisions. And then we use these reports as the building blocks for the stock assessment report. The entire process can take a year and a half or more to complete, sometimes shorter, sometimes longer. I'd just like to go quickly over the main objective of each of those workshops. The first is the planning meeting, and this is usually a conference call, usually short. But as I've mentioned several times before, the first thing you do in a stock assessment is define the unit stock. So that's the first thing we do at the planning meeting. We also standardize preparation of data. How are we going to prepare the data? What format do we need it in? And we also identify programs that collect data of potential use to the stock assessment. So what programs out there may collect the species of interest? So the quality of a stock assessment is dependent on the quality and relevance of the input data. If you incorporate uninformative data, that can reduce assessment quality and the confidence in results. So at the data workshop, we do a thorough compilation, review, and evaluation of all of the available data. And what we're thinking about is how the data relate to the real population based on our current understanding of the fishery and the current understanding of the life history and population dynamics of the species. At the methods workshop, we decide on our stock assessment approach and on reference points. Stock assessment method used should provide the best characterization of the unit stock based on current knowledge of the species life history and fisheries, as well as the availability of reliable representative data, and it's capable of providing the results that are needed by management. Proposed methods for which suitable input data don't exist or assumptions are considered invalid will be identified and eliminated from consideration. Also, we think about reference points, and again, we only want to consider stock status reference points that we have the data that can support and estimate. And stock status, if we can, will typically be evaluated relative to both stock size and fishing mortality rate, but other methods can be used if appropriate. At the assessment workshop, we discuss our what we call our base model run and determine the stock status relative to the reference points we've selected. We identify major uncertainties, you know, balance the realism and simplicity, and make the best use of available data. And I just want to note that the stock assessment results aren't broadcast before we've vetted them through the proper channels and the division has given final approval. The peer review workshop provides a judgment as to the appropriateness of the science and scientific methods that produce the assessment. I want to mention, this is important, the reviewers are unpaid. They're doing this on their own time. We do cover their travel. These reviewers have expertise in stock assessment, the assessment species, or both. And we strive for a minimum of 3 peer reviewers, but we've been lucky usually to have 4. In 2017, we've replaced our sort of desktop review with an in-person review workshop, so the reviewers come to us instead of us emailing them the stock assessment. This workshop is open to the public, but sometimes it's necessary to have sessions that are closed to the public, but those sessions are also closed to division staff when the reviewers just need to talk amongst themselves. The in-person peer review workshop I think is much more valuable because you have this, you know, immediate back and forth between the scientists and the reviewers, and you just get a much better product. Finally is the projection workshop. So we only have this workshop if the stock is overfished, and that's when we just determine the reduction needed to rebuild the stock to sustainable harvest levels. And that's our process. We have a standard operating procedure manual if anyone's interested in looking at that. Copies are available. And with that, I would be happy to take any questions.
Questions? Same.
What informs what sort of sampling procedure, or what informs natural mortality when you guys are doing these?
So natural mortality can be estimated a variety of ways. Ideally, it's going to be through a tagging or telemetry project where we can directly estimate natural mortality. More often, we don't have that data available, so we use what are called life history-based approaches. So we can estimate natural mortality based on how long the species lived, its growth rate, and known values for other similar species.
Gotcha. So with like for the example with gray trout, how does that translate over into managing in terms of fishing? You know, if we know, like, I've never heard anyone say that they know that, and I've heard that people talk about gray trout in that way. So I'm kind of curious how that informs fishing management decisions, I guess, if that makes any sense, or if that may be outside of your...
There's fishing management strategies that can be related to natural mortality rate. Like, you don't want F to be higher than the natural mortality. That's the strategy that's used. So it's definitely something that's taken into account. I also should mention that in talking about estimating natural mortality, you can have the model try and estimate natural mortality, but you need really good data. I'm not for gray trout. I can't recall if they estimated it within the model or they had an external estimate. I'm not sure if Lee recalls.
I know originally for weakfish, when the population was more robust and stable, they had life history estimates of natural mortality. And so what they did was they estimated fish mortality from that, and they calculated what basically the fish mortality rate, how it changed over time since then. And they were able to estimate through surveys and removals of weakfish to get what they called a relative F. And they couldn't, and the relative F didn't explain the increased mortality on weakfish. Uh-huh. And that is how they determined
they used
that natural mortality was increasing. And then they looked at diet information and stuff for other species. Since that time, a lady at Virginia Tech has done a much more complex model that I think actually was able to estimate some natural mortalities and changes. I'm not able to describe that. Certainly not, but But it did corroborate the fact that natural mortality had changed. But that was a very sort of an unusual kind of complex situation.
I'm just curious how, you know, if you take a random, you know, something other than gray trout or just a random species, how you would get informed that there were, and I think I understand. I think I know what you're saying.
Good time. Okay, anybody else? I've got a question myself. Do you have a way of putting a value on bias in that is, you know, a sampling program more biased than a different sampling program, or how do you determine that?
Absolutely. We have ways where we can calculate the bias, and then we feed that information into the model, and the model will put more confidence or what we say, weight more strongly to those data that have less bias, that, you know, with the higher precision, higher sample sizes, the model knows that those data have more confidence, should have more confidence.
Okay. All right. Good enough. All right. Anybody else? Thank you both for your presentation. It's been very informative. We needed it.